First chapter of Luke's Gospel opens and closes in the following manner. Verse 1, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. There was, in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And then later on in verse 67, we read, And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost, and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and have raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies, and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant. The oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him, all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high have visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. Verse 3, It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. The certainty of those things. What a chapter this is. How it opens. How it ends. The promises made to both Elizabeth and Mary of the birth of both John and Jesus Christ. How both these women have a promise from the Lord God on high. How they're both prepared. How that promise is brought to pass. How they rejoice in the salvation that God has sent. And what a reason for Luke to choose to record these things. What motivates him to write these things down? He writes them down that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. The certainty. These things are true. These events are true. Everything that Luke recorded happened as he recorded it. He wrote down what he'd seen and heard. He and the other disciples were eyewitnesses from the beginning. They'd lived and walked with Jesus Christ. They knew what happened. They'd heard what happened concerning his birth. They met the one who was born. They weren't writing fables and hearsay. They were eyewitnesses. These things happened. They're certain. They're certain because they came from God. The very God, the same God that made this world, that created the heavens and the earth, that brought these men and women into being, came unto these men and women and made these promises and performed these things. As true as it is that the world is here, as true as it is that you stand upon it, as true as it is that you live and breathe today, these things happened. The same God that sustains you and keeps you alive today at this hour is the same God that brought these things to pass and makes them known unto us today through the record that Luke and the other disciples recorded for us as God led them and inspired them. God brought these things to pass. God declared them. God made them known, and God makes it known unto us today. And he keeps your heart beating and your mind working that you might come to this point at this hour and hear these things. And if you hear them and reject them and trample them underfoot, then you put yourself into the hands of a God who can keep you alive and who can take your life away in a moment. A God who can make you to see or who can blind you in a moment. A God in whom your life depends. When he came unto Zacharias and made the promise of the birth of John to his wife Elizabeth, who was old and stricken in years and barren. She'd never had children. She was barren. When God came unto Zacharias and told him that she will bear a son, understandably, he couldn't believe it. And as a consequence, God said, because of your unbelief, I will cause you to be dumb, not able to speak, until these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words. And yet these words will be fulfilled. And when Zacharias came out of the temple, he came out unable to speak. He was speechless until that day that these things came to pass, and he believed. He was in God's hands. And he saw firsthand the certainty of what God had promised him. naturally speaking, he couldn't believe it. It was unbelievable. It was incredible. How could his wife, barren for so long, bring forth a child? And yet God came unto them. He came unto her and he said, "You will. You will bear a child. And he shall be great. He shall be John. He shall prepare the way of the Lord. The child born of Elizabeth shall prepare the people for the coming of the child born of Mary, that child whose name shall be called Jesus, that child who is born of the Holy Ghost, that child who is the Son of God, that child who shall come unto his people to redeem them and set them free and deliver them from their sins." Two children are promised. One, the Son of God, the Saviour, the long-awaited Messiah, who had been promised for generations. And another, the servant of God, John, who should come before Messiah, before Christ, before Jesus, and prepare the people for his coming. He should come as a preacher and say unto their people, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold Jesus. Look unto him. He is born. He has come. He has come into this world to save his people from their sins." Both the birth of Christ and the birth of his servant who went before him to prepare his way was promised from on high. And both promises came to pass. They were certain. And Luke writes, after these events, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things. Yes, these things were promised, they were prepared, and they were performed. What was promised, what was prepared, and what was performed? The promise of birth. The preparation for that birth. The performance of that birth. The promise of the birth of John. The preparation for it. The performance of it. The promise of the birth of Christ himself. The preparation for it and the performance of it. The promise of the birth of Christ in time, in history, as a man who physically walked upon this earth. And the promise of his birth in the experience of all his people as they are born of God when they hear the gospel and believe on him who came into this world to save them. There is a promise made regarding their birth. There is a preparation made regarding the birth of Christ in the heart of the believer. And there is a performance of that birth when by the Holy Ghost they are brought to life and cease to be dumb, cease to be blind, cease to be dead and unbelieving, and by the work of God, the grace of God, the work of God, the salvation of God, they believe, they see, and they declare that what God promised, he performed. This not only speaks in this chapter of the historical events concerning the birth of John and the birth of Christ, but in this picture, in this pattern, in this course, in this pathway of promise, preparation and performance is the pattern of how every believer who follows, for whom Christ came, for whom Christ died, is brought to life in him. Firstly, the birth of John is promised. Not just the birth of Christ, but the birth of John is promised. God sent a messenger before his son to prepare the way As is recorded in several of these Gospels, he sent before him, as Mark says, the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair, and with a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preach, saying, "There cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost." And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. Yes, John was sent before Christ. There was another promised before Christ. Another child promised. Another miraculous birth, another miraculous sending, another miraculous preparation. God prepared the way for the coming of his Son. He sent a servant before him to herald his coming. He sent a man to prepare the way, a man who came preaching. Preaching a message to prepare the people for the coming of Christ. And that man, he is promised unto the people. The chapter moves on to the promise of the Son of God, the birth of Jesus himself. That one born of a virgin. That one born of God. That one who is God himself. The Son of God, the Word of God, Jesus, born of Mary, born very God and very man, that one who came to bear the sins of his people and deliver them through his own death upon the cross. He is promised, but John also was promised. John is promised unto the people. God has promised to send a messenger with his message. And following this, likewise, the birth of Christ is then promised unto Mary. But before Christ comes John. And not just historically, not just in the events of the gospel as recorded here by Luke, but as a picture experimentally. If we're ever to come to know Christ, if Christ is ever to come unto us, if Christ is ever to be born for us and born in us, if we are ever to be born of God with the life of Christ risen up in our souls, if we're ever to know Christ's life and to know his salvation and to know his redemption, then first there will come a messenger with the gospel. God has promised it. God has declared it. God has set it forth as his pattern of how he sends salvation from the beginning, throughout time, unto the end. There is no coming of Christ into the experience of a sinner, of a man, of a woman, of a child, of those who were chosen of God unto salvation. There is no coming of Christ. There is no life. There is no birth. There is no belief. There is no faith until God first sends his messenger, his servant John, with the gospel. The birth of John, as the birth of Jesus, was promised. That promise came to pass. But before it came to pass, there was a preparation. Zacharias was met in the temple by the angel of God. The angel of God brought the message to Zacharias. Just like John would then go from God unto the people and bring the message of God unto that people to prepare that people for the coming of Christ, so God sent a messenger to Zacharias, and he prepared Zacharias for the coming of John. He prepared him, and he spake unto him, and he told him what would come to pass, that his prayer was heard, and his wife Elizabeth would bear him a son, and they would call his name John. He tells him, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Prepared for the Lord. See in these verses the four things the Lord said he will do through his servant John. He shall go before him, before Christ, in the spirit and power of Elias. He shall come before the coming of Christ as a prophet, with the same spirit and power that the prophet Elias had, that the Israelites knew of. They knew of Elias. They knew of the great power and influence he had, and the great prophecies he made, and how these things came to pass. Well, John shall come in the same way. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. The fathers shall be brought to think of their children, to think of the life that must come, of the generation to follow. And the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. By his message, he shall come unto those who are disobedient. And he shall lead this disobedient, this blind, this unbelieving, this hard-hearted people to hear the gospel, to hear the truth, and to hear the wisdom of God, the wisdom of the just, and turn them unto it in order to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Prepared for the Lord. John was sent with the gospel to prepare the people for the Lord. Without such a preparation, without the gospel coming forth in order to prepare the hearts of the people, there's no visiting of Christ. And unless we see this, and unless we know this, we can know all so much about Jesus. We can know all the facts about him. We can claim to follow him. We can claim to believe him. But it's all just words. Because the fact is that God brings the life of Christ into the hearts of those whom he has prepared through the sending of his gospel by his servant to prepare them for the coming of his Son. This is God's order. This is God's pattern. This is what he does. He sends a preacher. He sends a preacher with his gospel. And that gospel prepares the heart that God should then bring forth life in the heart to believe what you have heard. You cannot believe if you have not heard. You cannot hear, as Paul tells us in Romans, unless God sends a preacher. And those preachers cannot preach unless they've been called, prepared, and sent
of God.
God prepared John. He caused him to be born. He was filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And he was sent forth to this generation, to this people, preaching the gospel. This is what the Lord does through those whom he sends with his gospel. Those who prepare the way of the Lord. They go before Christ in the spirit and power of Elias. They turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Note the order. John is sent before Christ. The gospel precedes his coming. The gospel precedes his birth. The gospel prepares a people for the Lord, and then Christ comes unto them. Then Christ is born. Not just born physically at Bethlehem in the historical sense, John having been born first and then Christ later, but born as it were in the heart. The new birth of a believer does not precede the preparation that comes through John and the preaching of the gospel. The new birth comes following the preparation. Until that birth has come, we may be unbelieving, like Zacharias. We may be dumb, unable to speak. We may be blind. But the order is that God sends his gospel first to those who are dumb, to those who are unbelieving, to those who are blind, to those who are dead. And he brings the truth. And in the spirit and power of Elias, he turns the hearts. He turns the hearts of the father to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. And when they're turned, and when he's prepared the heart, then he sends forth his son into their heart. Then he causes his son to be born. Then their tongues are loosened. And they who now believe, they who now have faith, they who now have the life of Christ born again within them by the Holy Ghost, as Mary did. That which is born within you is of the Holy Ghost. Those who are being brought to be born again of God in Christ, then they speak, then they see, then they believe, then they rise up with prayer and praise unto God. This is God's way. He uses the gospel to prepare a people. Then he brings them to life as Christ is sent into their hearts. Some will contend that Christ comes first. That life in the soul by the new birth comes, as it were, in isolation. Perhaps apart from the gospel. Because they claim that no one can understand or believe the gospel until they're first living. And that's true. This is why we see in the picture here that Zacharias was dumb and unbelieving, even when Gabriel had come unto him and promised him these things. But the order is that the messenger comes with the message first. And we may be unbelieving at first, and we may just hear with the outward ear at first. We may just have facts in the heads at first, but there comes that day when God says, now, today's the day. I've made the promise unto you. I've sent the message unto you. I've prepared the way. I've prepared your heart. I've caused you to know, I've sounded the alarm. I've sounded the alarm of judgment to come. I've warned you. I've shown you the barrenness of this world. I've shown you the barrenness of your heart. The barrenness of your womb, as it were. I've showed you your inability to believe. Your inability to walk before me as you should. Your inability to bring life unto yourself. Your inability to save yourself. I've prepared you. And now's the day when you shall believe. And they who had heard the gospel, merely with the outward ear, they whose hearts were being prepared by God, come to that day when the life of God drops in to that heart prepared of God. And finally, they see. They see. And being filled with the Holy Ghost, they with Zechariah say, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people." This birth, this life, does not come in isolation. Neither does it precede the preparation of God or the promise of God. God sends John, as it were, his servant, with his gospel. He does not send the life and follow it with the gospel, simply to bring a knowledge of what's already occurred. Yes, that gospel follows the life, but it also precedes it. It prepares for it, and it brings this to pass, because God will have it his way. He will send a preacher with his gospel. That is not the order we see here in John, the order of having life and then the gospel. The order we see in John and in Mark and throughout all the scriptures is that God sends a messenger before his son. He sends his servant John to prepare the way. This is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is throughout all the scriptures. He sends a messenger with his word first. He prepares the way of the Lord. And Luke declares these things and sets them down that we may know the certainty of those things. That this might, it might not be something which is debated. This might not be a matter of conjecture. This might not be a matter of discussion amongst those who have knowledge of things, knowledge of doctrine in the head. But this is a reality, a certainty, which those who have trodden the path of Zacharias, trodden the path of Elizabeth, trodden the path of Mary and Joseph, trodden the path of Luke and John and Mark and Matthew, trodden the path of the disciples, trodden the path of every child of God who's come to know Christ and a new birth, that those who have trodden this path might say, yes, God prepared me. He sent me his gospel. I didn't believe at first. And he shut my mouth that I would not contend. He silenced me. All my objections to the truth, all my objections to the gospel, all my objections to the ways of God and the ways that he would save were silenced. I became dumb before him. I could not speak until he brought me to life, and then I could not but praise him for what he had done. I know this is the way. I know this is the truth. I know the certainty of these things. What Zacharias knew, I know. Because the same God that visited Zacharias and promised him John is the same God that visited me and promised me life in Christ and brought it to pass. At first I would not believe. He brought me to silence. I could not answer. I could not contend. And I saw at last the certainty when he brought me unto life. Luke sets before us these things that we may know the certainty of them. That we may know this, not just in the head, but as a reality of which we are a part in our experiencing it of ourselves, in ourselves. These births, the birth of John and the birth of Christ, are not something at a distance. The birth of Christ, which will be remembered around the world in these coming weeks, is not something merely historical, not something you merely talk about. But for the believer, it's something that they are one with. He was not only born 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, but for them, he was born within them. The promise of his coming is a promise made unto them in particular. The preparation for his coming is a preparation that they felt and experienced. As God sent his gospel unto them, the truth unto them, and scattered the lies of their objections which they once held on to. Once they held on to a false gospel and false notions of whom Jesus is. Once they thought they could be saved by their own works. Once they thought their own decision was enough. Once they thought their acceptance of Jesus would bring them salvation. Once they thought their knowledge of the truth in their head was good enough. Once they thought their own righteousness was good enough. Their own obedience was good enough. Their own walking in the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord would be good enough. But then God silenced them. And he said, no. None of this is good enough. Because none of this brings life. This is just you in the deadness of your trespasses and sins, walking in your religion, thinking you stand before God when you're dead. And all your answering and all your reckoning and all your hopes go falling down in tatters because there's nothing in it. He prepares us by brushing aside all of our false refuges, all the things we try to hope in which won't save us. We contend against the election of God, the promise of God to save a people, that God chooses them and saves them and brings the knowledge of God unto them and brings the life of God unto them. By nature, we contend against it because it takes it out of our hands. We want a gospel that we can choose. We want a gospel, a saviour that we can choose to accept and choose to follow based upon our decision. But God shows us that every decision we ever make is to reject him. It's to go another way. The only decisions we make in religion for a Jesus whom we follow is a Jesus of our own imagination. A Jesus who is a little servant to us. A little idol. One that does our bidding. But we never followed the true Jesus. We don't know him. We don't care for him. Like the Jews, when he came unto them, we would reject him and crucify him. When the truth of Christ comes unto us, we rise up and say, away with this man, crucify him, crucify him. And the preparation of God in the gospel is to take away that stony heart that so says. That's where you and I are by nature when we first hear the truth. When we first hear the true gospel, we reject the Christ that's made known in it. We reject the certainty of these things. We reject Luke's message, even though he comes as an eyewitness of these things. We say, no, we don't want to know. We reject it. And yet God's preparation is to say, no, this is the truth. This is certain. If you're to be saved, it's because I promised to save you. And if you're to be saved, it's because I will prepare you and brush away all these false lies in which you've held, in which you've walked, all this false hope in which you've trusted. I'll show you that you're nothing, and I'll make you to be dumb before me until that day when I perform these things that I've promised and I bring you to life. Yes, all these things in this chapter concern birth, the birth of Jesus Christ, not just in time in history in Bethlehem, but the birth of Jesus Christ in the souls of his people. Believer, the birth of Jesus Christ in your soul. O sinner, does it concern the birth of Jesus Christ in your soul? Has God made a promise regarding you? Has he said, though you are barren, though you are dead, I will bring life within? Has he prepared you by brushing away all your hope in any other way of being saved and said, this is the way? You'll only be saved through my son Jesus Christ. You'll only be saved if he's born in you as the life of God in your soul, and that will only come to pass if he first took away your sins, if he first redeemed you, if he first brought remission of sins. And that only came to pass if I sent him to the cross in your place, and he of whom you said in your natural state, crucify him, crucify him, was indeed crucified, was indeed slain. And if you're mine, he bore your sins. He bore your unbelief. He bore your rejection of him. He bore your hatred of him. He bore your apathy. He bore your wickedness. He bore your selfishness. He bore your greed. He bore all your iniquity. And he suffered for it. And he died for it. He died for it. That you, my child, through him should live. Should live. Has he come unto you? Has he promised this life unto your soul? Has he prepared you for its coming through his gospel? And in time, has he brought it to pass? Has he performed it? And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him, all the days of our life. He's promised this. And he's brought it to pass. He sent his son. He's visited us. Christ has come. He's redeemed us. He's redeemed us through his own blood. He died that we should be living. He died that we should live in him. That we through him should be righteous. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high have visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. What God promised regarding John came to pass. Zacharias saw the child born. He knew what he would do. He knew why he was sent. And he was sent to preach the gospel, to bring light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to people like you and I. You sit in darkness by nature, and in the shadow of death. In a few short years, if you remain in darkness, then death will come upon you. You sit in its shadow. The shadow gets longer as you get closer. And yet God has sent his gospel, his message, that you who sit in darkness might be given light. To give them light that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. John preached these things. The people heard. They heard the gospel from his lips. But only Christ could bring them life. Only when Christ came unto them could he bring them life. John preached a certain baptism, but he made it plain that he was pointing them to Christ. They must know Christ. John's birth came first. His arrival with his message came first. The gospel came first. But it came to prepare the way. Ultimately, you and they must hear and see and believe on Christ. You must have the birth of Jesus Christ within. There must be a conception within you, as there was in Mary. And the angel answered and said unto Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. If what is promised here, if what is prepared in your soul through the preaching of the gospel is brought to pass, is performed, then what will happen is that the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. The power of the Highest shall overshadow you. And a holy thing shall be born within, which is called the Son of God. And that's the only way that sinners like you and I shall be saved. If you're born of God, you will live forever. If that which is born within you is Christ himself, by the grace and mercy of God, then you will know God and live forever. And if he isn't, then all your religion and all your knowledge is but words in the head. God sent a promise. God prepared the coming of his Son through the preaching of the gospel by his servant John. He sends that message today, that sinners that sit in darkness might see the light and might come to know the birth of Jesus Christ. Do you know Christ? Has he been born within your heart? Amen.